One thing that I'm having a problem with is my older sister. After our mother died, she said that, you know, we needed to stay in touch better than our father did because he was just bad at keeping in touch. However, my older sister, who said that, is the worst at following her own advice at that. I'm the one who always has to reach out, and she never even tries to contact me. She has my phone number, she never calls me or even sends me a message at all. So I'm just curious what your thoughts were on that.
Hey, listen, I do have a thought on that, Brian. I'll give it to you in a moment. Hey, I want to welcome you to Intentional Living. I think you got the gist. We're talking about adult sibling rivalry. I wrote a whole book on this called The Cain and Abel Syndrome, How to Get Along with Your Adult Siblings. And it's one of those areas that can either be, kind of neutral as far as no issues. It can be a great blessing, a great joy, or it can be a real pain in the neck. And we want to help us be intentional when it comes to staying connected with these very important people who, in part, made us who we are today in our birth order and our family and our relationships. And by the way, we have a phone line open today, not for comments, but we have a phone line open for those of you who have been thankfully picking up the line to say, I want to support Intentional Living. I want to be a part of the team. Receive that brand new book on Declutter Your Life, How to Experience Freedom Through Intentional Living. And as a result, have been joining us in support monthly at $1 a day or more. Thank you. Thank you. What do? You can call that number, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. We got some cool things going on there as well. Check it out. Brian, listen, you just said it was an older sister. You're the baby of the family. Welcome to the club. I'm the baby in my family. And I think sometimes what happens is, over all the years when we're the youngest, we get sometimes ignored because the older ones are developing their lives and moving on and doing their own thing. So they develop habits, certain kinds of habits that can carry over into adulthood. So a simple suggestion, if this is important to you to maintain relationship with your sister, you be the initiator. Change your expectations. She may never change. She may never take the lead. She may never be one that says, oh, I get it. I need to be calling him sometimes. Just do it. Because I'll tell you, one day you'll wake up and maybe she'll be gone. And you'll look back and say, boy, I wish I had, and you fill in the blank. So do it. That is really being intentional.
The older one has significant learning disabilities and is causing a lot of friction between the two of them because she doesn't want the younger one to outdo her in anything.
When I'm working with my kids, I have that structure and I have that no not to mess with me.
My parents were very gender biased. I'm the oldest of five, and my younger brothers had later curfews, were given more freedom, so that really did create some heartache between us. And irreparable harm in the relationship. It bothers me that everything that they do is a competition.
And that's the word to underline today is competition, competition. We live in a competitive world, but when we bring competition into our families, competing for love and attention at home, or to measure up, or you know, be like dad, or be like mom, or what they thought they wanted us to be, and then our brother or sister, they measure up, at least in our eyes. Those things create competition, and competition is negative. Look at Joseph and his brothers in the book of Genesis. Look at Cain and Abel. I mean, we don't have to go very far through the book of just the book of Genesis to find sibling rivalry, as I think about it. You got Joseph and his brothers. You got Cain and Abel. We got Rachel and Leah. Who else do we have? Jacob and Esau. And there's four right there, right off the bat. So feel comforted in that this is not just a 21st century reality. This goes back to biblical times for sure. Okay, Peggy's in Georgia. Welcome to the Intentional Living Center today, Peggy.
Hey, thank you very much.
Do you relate to a sibling rivalry?
Well, I did. Of course, I'm not that sibling rivalry type thing anymore.
Well, that's good because many adults really carry it in right to their own grave. I mean, there are adults that never get this stuff fixed with their siblings.
Well, my older sister and I, she was chasing me through the house about 40 years ago, and I slammed the door in front of her, and she decided she was going to push it open, but she pushed on the glass, and her wrist went through the window.
Oh, my.
and slit her wrist. And of course, they had to go to the emergency room, and I got in big trouble too. I'm sure I had done something to cause her to chase me, though, knowing me. I was the middle child, you know. So I figured.
So there was a lot of that kind of rivalry and bickering or fighting or going on as you were growing up?
There was three of us. I'm the middle. My older sister's 3 years older. My younger sister, Thelma's exactly 3 years younger.
How do you get along now?
I'm the middle underappreciated daughter.
All middle children. We always make an issue to appreciate middle children at my conferences. We have them stand, in fact, because middle children are always left out.
I got to stand at your conference in Warner Robins, Georgia.
There you go. I always have middle children stand because we feel for you guys. Yeah. But what would a baby or an oldest do without a middle?
I don't know.
All right. So how do you all get along today, Peggy?
My older sister and I get along fine now. It's really weird because when we got out of high school and college, my younger sister and my older sister identified a lot with each other. Neither were involved in church at all, and I was. And so I was always pretty judgmental on things that they did. And so they didn't like me around because I would tell them they were doing wrong. Then as things have progressed, my older sister and I now have become close, and my little sister, not real close to either one of us right now, family issues and stuff, but it's just weird how things have changed.
Well, it does, and I'll tell you the dynamic. We've got a question coming up right now about a couple of brothers not talking to each other. As they've grown older, and it does change. Many times it's because people get, you know, they get married, and there's new dynamics, new relationships, and there's other changes.
Calls this other way.
Absolutely, and those things are just part of the dynamic, because every time you add to the family, there's a new culture that has to be developed. Hey, thank you, Peggy. Talking sibling rivalry today. How about you? Maybe you can relate. 888-888-1717.
They are just nitpicking over the most simplest things, and I'm about to lose all of my hair.
She believes that I love him more because she's feeling that he is loved more.
When they are in the vehicle with me, there is no respect for me. There is no respect for each other's bodies, no respect for, you know, like you were just saying, you know, no name calling.
One of my brothers, my younger brother, not so much, but the one that was 18 months younger than me, we are still estranged and we're both in our 40s.
But my children, the only word that I can describe my four boys are, and I mean even my two-year-old, is bullies.
Boy, listen, this is pervasive. It is worldwide. It is historical. We can go back to the book of Genesis. As we said, we just pointed out four sibling rivalry stories in the very first book of the Bible. And as we see it all throughout Scripture. We see it throughout history. Sibling rivalry is a symptom of competition. And it requires two people, at least, to be in a competitive environment. And you know what? Here's the problem in a family. We live in a competitive world. We compete for everything. But in our families, if a child feels, and even though it's not intended by the family that that child feel this way, if they start to feel that they are competing for attention, significance, love, power, that begins the root of the problem. Have any of you seen the TV show? I think it's in rerun now. Everyone Loves Raymond. And even the title of that TV show was Everyone Loves Raymond. Well, what about the older brother? What was it, Robert? Was that his name? The older brother, Robert. And he always felt like he was playing second fiddle, trying to catch up, trying to measure up, trying to be appreciated, finding significance, someone pay attention to him, someone love him. And we laugh at a story like that, but it goes on every day in the homes of many, many families. So what do you do? Competitive siblings need a competitive environment to compete, don't they? So what do we do? I think you're seeing the direction. We got to eliminate unhealthy competition. How do you do that? We're going to talk about that here in just a moment, give you some specific help. Karen's in Arizona with a question. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Thank you so much for taking my phone call. I love your show. I use your 90-day devotional every morning, and I just am growing so much in the Lord. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad now. You've been very intentional in doing this every day?
Yes, absolutely, intentionally, yes. And that's one of the reasons I'm calling. My heart is really broken over my two sons. I have three children, mm-hmm. and my sons are not talking to each other, and there's now a grandchild involved.
So they're older. They're adults?
Yes, they're adults. And they.
Why aren't they talking to each other, do you think?
Well, I believe it's one of the wives doesn't like our family. She doesn't like me. I'm embarrassed to tell you that. And my kids grew up in the Lord doing ministry, and the two of them together are so much stronger together. But one made some radical mistakes as a teenager and then came back to the Lord and is a rebirth person and has a beautiful family now and a child.
Uh-huh.
And the wife of the other son really looks down on my son that made all the mistakes. Her husband, my youngest, did everything right.
Now, when you look in at this, Karen, was there a moment or something said or done that you think set this in motion?
Yes, my youngest son's wife wrote an email to our family saying some horrible things about us.
Mm.
And my older son was very upset that my younger son allowed this to go out to the family.
Yeah.
And my family is, strong Italian, just very Christian, and it was just a shock. And ever since that time, nothing has ever been the same.
Sure.
Although I put it in the past because she's young, and I really believe what the Bible says about when you get married, you're one, and I have to bless that relationship. But it's just really sad. I just don't know what to do. But what I have done.
Let me ask you though, Karen. In your heart of hearts, you didn't agree with your son marrying that woman.
No.
Okay, and she knew that.
Right.
I'm only talking to you. I'm laying the proverbial cards face up on the table here. She knew you didn't approve of her.
Yeah, I thought she was leading my son in a wrong direction.
Yeah, right. But I'm just saying they're married.
Yes.
But in her heart, she knows mother-in-law didn't approve of me, doesn't like me.
Well,
that's the story she's made.
I just was surprised at his choice.
Yeah, okay, all right. There are moms and dads all over the country standing in amazement with the same kind of choices that kids make, and so you're not uncommon or certainly not strange, the fact that you're experiencing this. Karen, just a couple real basic things when we talk about sibling rivalry. Look at a triangle in your mind. If all of you would just think of a triangle with the three points. And if you take the three points, you're at one of the points. Maybe you have a sibling at another point and another sibling at another point or another family. And what happens so often is these triangular relationships start to develop. I talk to them, they talk to me, they talk to the other person, and pretty soon we've got an unhealthy thing going on. I would encourage you to keep your, and maybe you are, but keeping the relationships separate. Have a good relationship with each of your sons to the extent you can, but not getting caught in gossip or discussing or getting caught in trying to resolve their problems. Secondly, to the extent that you can really bless the life of this young daughter-in-law, you do it. You speak into her life. You love on her. You spend time with her. You let her know that you appreciate her and love her. And if you feel at some time appropriate to apologize, then you do that. But at the end of the day, all you can do is be the kind of in-law that you need to be to demonstrate the kind of love for that young woman that she needs from you, to let her know that you're blessing her and that you're blessing your son. But when they get going with each other, the only thing you can say is, you guys are adults now, you got to work this out and stay out of it. Because there's a no-win situation when you butt your nose in. Triangular relationships do not work.
Randy, I just want to thank you very much for your intentional living program and comments about being intentional livers. It has changed my life.
I've been trying to live the intentional life the best as I can. Before I found Jesus, I had a hard time with sins of the flesh. But what I'm doing to try to help myself even further is I talk to my friends and family, and and have my own time with God.
I have teenage children and am challenged at times with not reacting to them. I'm setting the tone of not raising my voice. My home has been a much more content place.
Her doing God's will is most important, and where God wants her is the safest place for her to be.
I've been listening to you for almost 3.5 years, and I do want to live an intentional life, and it's taken a long time.
How many times we get on a plane, get in your seat, you fly for 3 hours and you really never know the person next to you, or you talk to the person next to you, but you never really know what's going on in their lives. Get off and we really never connected with anybody. I think there's two things that I'd say about loneliness. Intentionally, number one, assume everyone that you meet today needs hope. They may look good, they may be wealthy, they may be successful in every way, but I think it's a mistake on our part if we assume anything other than people need hope. That was important for me to learn. Assume everyone you meet today needs hope, and secondly, to connect. Serve, share, and be real. People need to know you're real, to be willing to serve, to share, and just be real. You know, that's an excerpt from the featured Intentional Living Life-Changing Lesson for this month on 10 things that I learned on an airplane. And that's one of them, that you can be on an airplane seated next to someone and still be very much feeling alone and not really knowing who they are and them never really connecting with you as well. And so that's the featured lesson. The entire teaching is up on our exclusive site for our members. Those of you who have been joining us, we've been getting you access to that. I hope you'll be viewing and listening to all the lessons from the last couple of years. We got some new lessons going to be coming up here through the end of this year. And so all you have to do to join us, and by the way, something really special right now, when you do join us in monthly support for the ministry at $1 a day or more, you're going to receive our brand new book. I just wrote it, just been published with the help of my staff on the topic of declutter your life. How do we experience freedom through intentional living in Christ? And that's our gift for all the new members or those of you increasing your support. You can call anytime. Right now, the operators are taking calls 24 hours a day at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Well, we're talking about sibling rivalry today. And as I mentioned, I wrote a whole book, you know, on this topic. And as you've been hearing these calls coming in, what I find is that for some people, it's not an issue at all. Things are really great. For many, it's just sort of they've done their thing and I'm doing my thing and we don't have that much interaction with each other. But for many, it's a very painful thing. And what happens is the way we related to each other when we were kids in the home together often gets carried over. And that's why we tell parents, hey, let your kids connect and work things out. Because if you've always been sort of the referee in that relationship, managing and orchestrating that relationship, what's going to happen when you're gone? Because when you're gone, all of a sudden the rules have changed. And so helping your young kids when they're at home to work out disagreements and not solve all their problems, but be there to encourage them to work things out can help them develop a relationship with each other that can help them through a lifetime. And so today, as we're thinking about sibling rivalry, we're really thinking about what is God's intention. Jesus had issues with his siblings, and yet he continued to hold to what he knew was true, but at the same time, tried to maintain that relationship. That's critical. Talking about adult siblings, and by the way, when you call, I hope you'll join us in support today.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt. We believe that the right goals supported by the right daily habits, intentionally lived over an extended period of time, result in total freedom. But you got to have the right goals, and the goals have to begin. As Paul said, I march toward the goal, the upward call, the high calling of Christ. And when our goals are centric to our faith, centric to biblical teaching, centric to the leading of the Holy Spirit, you can't go wrong. Then it's up to us to get up off our backside and actually live it. And that's the habitual side, the habits, the actions, the intentional part of it. We're talking about one aspect of being intentional, and that's being intentional in your relationship with your siblings. And let me go to Julia. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Well, thank you.
Appreciate your call. Can you relate to this sibling rivalry today?
I can. We have much sibling rivalry, and I would say a lot of it was my own opinions, and I'm going to point out a specific sibling in reference, which her name would be Gail. And I know she got a lot of flack from the family. She's a very sensitive soul, went through a lot of medical anomalies, and kind of like the Jesus theory, you know, we kind of didn't believe her all of her life with all of the things she went through because she never put it on paper. And so since I've given myself to Christ, I realized that all of my siblings in the way that we've been and the rivalry we've been, at least for me, it's led me to my relationship with Christ and been able to look towards my sister Gail, that, you know, she held herself strong regardless, you know, of what she went through, regardless of what we told her, regardless of how we treated her, because she couldn't prove it on paper. And, you know, that's how Jesus works. You know, not everything is on paper.
So has that changed your relationship? You're giving your life to Christ, changed your attitude and relationship with her?
Yes, because I can see how, you know, how cruel I was, especially because she didn't provide me with her doctor's notes and her her proof, when that's personal between her and
absolutely
her. And if I can love her enough to, whether it was true or not, if I couldn't love her enough to take the benefit of the doubt, to walk in faith, you know, that's what I want to say. It taught me how to accept everything that comes my way in faith.
Yeah,
and I use her as an example because I know all of my life I treated her very badly and even laughed at her and scoffed at her. And I know a lot of people that come to Christ go through the same thing.
Well, I think it's a key that now as a new follower of Christ, you may feel, if it's appropriate to do so, to express that to her. What God has done in your life, how he's changed your life and your attitudes, and that you sincerely apologize, to be able to establish maybe a reconnection with your sister, if that'd be appropriate to do so. Okay, thank you, Julia. Appreciate it. Linda, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you, thank you. And it's good to be on the line.
How do you relate to this sibling rivalry?
Well, I am one of 15, so I think I relate pretty much. We've always had, you know, little tit-bats, not a little, but maybe a few more growing up. But I have found out with my experience with my relationship with God, now we can talk about things and that we're getting along much, much better. And it's just a joy, more of a joy being together.
Well, what one thing do you do now that makes a difference? One thing.
I really listen to my brothers and sisters of where they are at in their life.
I think that's key. All right. Thank you, Linda. I'm sorry we got run out of time here. If we had a couple hours, we'd extend these calls, but we run out of time. I want to get in just a couple things. If you're raising kids at home and you see sibling rivalry, don't ignore it. Now, maybe that's part of the strategy to ignore it, because frankly, when we jump in too soon, what happens is, we jump in too soon, we solve all their problems. Your kids don't learn how to resolve problems themselves. But sometimes we intentionally want to ignore it because we also realize that when we jump in, we're telling them that we're going to solve their problems. So let me give you four things very quickly. How do you eliminate competition? Parent up and power down. And one of the ways you do that is you follow through with both. Don't reward them by picking a winner and a loser. Decompress your family so there's not so much competition. And be consistent. allow them to work out their differences. Set the rules, but be careful not to jump in too soon. Solve all their problems for them and hold them both accountable. And let them know through your actions and your behaviors that I love you both. The fact is they're different. You do love them, and you love them because they are different. You love them because of their uniqueness. You love them because God has made them uniquely different. Don't try to put them into your mold. Remember what the scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it.
They are just nitpicking over the most simplest things, and I'm about to lose all of my hair.
She believes that I love him more because she's feeling that he is loved more.
When they are in the vehicle with me, there is no respect for me. There is no respect for each other's bodies, no respect for, you know, like you were just saying, you know, no name calling.
One of my brothers, my younger brother, not so much, but the one that was 18 months younger than me, we are still estranged and we're both in our 40s.
But my children, the only word that I can describe my four boys are, and I mean even my two-year-old, is bullies.
Well, you can see how this begins in the home, doesn't it? And, you know, while we've been talking about adults, it's the kids too, because often the sibling rivalry begins in childhood. When things don't get resolved, they tend to carry over into adulthood. I always kind of give that example of like a triangle where you've got the two siblings and then you're a parent. And when you remove yourself, which someday you will, you're going to be out of that equation as far as their relationship. And if they've not done a good job connecting, it's all coming through you. There's a problem. That's why it's important when Billy comes to you griping about Susie that you get the two of them together and let them work out their differences and don't solve it for them. Because when you're gone, hey, Billy is not going to have anybody to go to because he hasn't learned how to connect with his sibling. And so that's what we're talking about today. And I mentioned a little bit earlier, we've heard about Jesus and his relationship with his sibling. That was a problematic relationship. And yet, if you read the scripture clearly, Jesus never incited or tried to create an issue. It was always the siblings who just, well, understandably were confused maybe and jealous and upset about, here's Jesus, who is the Son of God. Can you imagine what that's like in that family? Well, you know, as we're wrapping up today, just a quick reminder that if you want to receive the very special gift of that brand new Declutter Your Life book that I've written along with my team, it's available today for those of you joining us in monthly support, and you're receiving exclusive access to all of the teaching, and those of you increasing your support as well, just call 888-888-1717 right now and tell them you want to support Intentional Living, or go to theintentionallife.com. Hey, thanks for joining me. Have a great day.